Currently, a majority of the electricity that we use here in Idaho comes from renewable energy like hydroelectricity and natural gas. However, according to a new study by the Electric Power Research Institute, that won't always be the case. Things like electric cars are gaining in popularity, and even in rural states like Idaho, they are appealing for many people. However, those cars need to be charged somehow, which places more strain on our state's electrical grid. So here's the question. Can our existing infrastructure meet the demands that will be placed on it over the next few decades, as well as beyond that? Joining me live in studio to talk more about this is Mike Ledinsky. He is Senior Manager at Power Engineers. Welcome to the program.
Thank you, Getty.
So really quickly, Mike, explain to me what electrification of energy is, because it's a term that we've heard, but can be a bit confusing.
So electrification is replacing sources of power, and we use cars as the main example mm-hmm. that are fueled by fossil fuels, gasoline, diesel, with electricity, so electric motors. Same in your home. You have your furnace, you have your hot water heaters that are usually powered by natural gas. Those can also be electrified, and there's reasons for that, and they're not what you'd expect. It's not necessarily a technical reason. The reason electrification is so important is for emissions in our environment. If you can produce electricity at a large central plant, even if it's gas-fired, mm-hmm. it's much more efficient to produce electricity to power your furnace, your hot water heater, your cars, as opposed to the inefficient burning of fossil fuels in an engine, combustion engine, that creates more pollution per horsepower.
So things like renewable electricity, when we talk about like wind and solar, how does that work into this equation?
So wind and solar are part of electrification, but they're more in the peripheral, Gemma. Wind and solar are other sources of renewable energy that don't pollute. But as we'll talk later, they create some other issues with the grid and integration and things mm-hmm. like that.
So what we need to be looking at is the strain on the current grid.
Right. That's correct. So the current grid, I'll talk a little bit about the grid. So the grid is the transmission system and distribution system that provides the electricity for all of the users. And there's not one grid.
So there's more than one.
And that's we'll talk about the energy imbalance market, and that's
right.
The whole reason there. So there's regional authorities that are responsible for balancing the grid. They call them balancing authorities mm-hmm. sometimes. So we have a grid, even though it's connected to adjoining grids, but the utilities that supply energy to Idaho, which is Avista and Idaho Power, among others, are part of the transmission system, and they're responsible for making sure that it's always there. It's reliable, it's not overloaded, and that it like I say, it works.
And it works. How
yeah.
about that?
Yes.
Right?
So if there's some sort of outage, if something breaks, they need to be responsible for making sure there's another route or a way to fix it quickly.
Okay. So you brought up the energy imbalance market. So if I understand this, this is where maybe one state like overproduces a certain amount of energy. And so they can, I mean, you don't give it to another state.
Right.
But, so explain that.
So the energy imbalance market, as you suggest, Gemma, it's a way to work with adjoining balancing authorities to address your energy needs. So, for example, you may have a shortage, you may have an outage of some kind, and you might need some help. So instead of trying to generate yourself, maybe you, for example, Idaho Power may have to draw on a coal plant, whereas in the energy imbalance market, and it's driven by economics, so people will bid in. You'll say, I have this need for this many megawatts mm-hmm. for this long, and they'll say, well, I have excess solar, I have excess wind, or the hydro is running high today, and that way I can send it your way.
And is that because the grids are connected?
So they are connected,
yes. So you can move it, basically, at a fee.
Yes.
So that's how it would work.
That's correct.
So then what would be the benefit of Idaho becoming a part of this market?
Again, when you have an obligation to serve, which is what the utilities have, you have to have everything available within a certain range. And sometimes you can't get there. So it's helpful to have other states around to support that. There's also an economic benefit. So, for example, I'll use California and Arizona as an example. Arizona has a lot of renewables, and sometimes they'll overproduce in the middle of the day when the sun's shining and the wind's blowing. and they have to take that electricity, they can actually send it to Arizona and pay them to take it.
Wow. So we could be potentially a part of this.
We could be a part of this. So a lot of the adjoining utilities and balancing authorities are joining that. So it helps your investments as far as not overbuilding. Mm-hmm. And it also has some economic advantages where you might be able to even produce it yourself, but you could get it cheaper from someone else or even potentially get paid for it.
So how important is it that Idaho really does look into other sources of energy, even though we use a lot of hydro energy?
Well, I think it's like anything in life. It's diversity. So diversity is important. So diversity for pricing, diversity for reliability and availability. It's like anything. It's never one extreme mm-hmm. or another. And then also for the emissions. So you have to take care of that and be responsible as a community member for emissions. And, you know, hydro may not always be there, right? So you want to be safe. And the last one is security. So if we lose a dam, mm-hmm. if a gas line blows up, you know, we have to think about these things that could happen. And let's assume it's a natural disaster, but you have to have some sort of diversity so that you can back that up and continue to provide electricity.
And as we go on this path, I mean, electric cars with that example, I mean, you do have to plug them into some type of electricity to make them work. And we're going more down that path.
That's correct. That's correct. So that brings up another question you want to talk about is our distribution system and how do we address that?
Right. And I only have like 30 seconds left. Can you answer that in 30 seconds or less?
So 30 seconds or left. Here's what we have to do. We have to work on our infrastructure and our control system. So balancing all these things, you know, the economics, bringing things in, the wind stops blowing and the sun stops shining instantly. You have to have some controls in place to be able to manage that and reroute the energy and supply your customers.
I really appreciate you coming in and talking about this today. My guest today, Mike Ledinsky, he is the Senior Manager at Power Engineers. Nice conversation.
Thanks, Gemma.